into victorious times. And the title of this message is, Things Which Are Seen Are Subject to Change. And I thank God for that. Proverbs 13:12 says, Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 12:25 says, Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Notice that in these two passages, the Lord reveals to us two things that have an effect on the heart. Now, let's stop right there. What is the heart? And if you go to church here, you know this, the answer to this question. The heart is the spirit and the soul. So when the Bible generally, not always, but generally talks about the heart of man, it's talking about the spirit and the soul. So let me explain that. The spirit is the real you. You are a three-part being. You were made, and I'll talk about this in a minute, in the image and likeness of God. And you were made that way. And God is a three-part being. He's Father God. He's Father Son. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So you were made a three-part being. You are a spirit. That's the real you. You have a soul, which is mind, will, and emotions. And you live in a body, this earth suit. Now, your soul, mind, will, and emotions is a big problem for many of us. So when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the spirit man, which is dead before you accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And then it is reconnected to God and comes alive. And I say it's dead. It's not dead as in it doesn't exist. It's dead in that it's not connected to God. And so when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, your spirit man, the real you, gets re-energized and re-put back to where it was supposed to be for eternity, and that's connected back to God. And then your spirit will feed your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, which you're supposed to respond to, and then the body's supposed to do what you tell it to. And unfortunately, most of us, the body rules, or the emotions rule, and the spirit's just out there trying to do something. But I want you to notice that in this passage, He reveals the two things that will affect the heart. So when it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, it's saying that hope deferred makes the spirit man sick. It causes the spirit to malfunction. In Proverbs 20:27, we are told that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Therefore, our spirit is made by God to be creative, to be productive, to be our spiritual production center. Matthew 12:35, a very, very familiar scripture to this church. Matthew 12:35, this is Jesus talking. Now, you're going to see me in the bottom of this screen because we're going to spend a few minutes on this scripture. Because I want to talk to you about this, and I want us to go through it together if we're able to do that. So, on that scripture in Matthew 12:35, it says, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart." Now, what's the heart? We just talked about the spirit and the soul. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, okay, that's up, that's great. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil things. So let's break this down. And again, some of you have heard me break this down a lot, but that's okay. A good man, and the reason I've turned is I'm reading the screen that's up on the wall. I'm reading the monitors that you guys usually look at. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart. Now, what's a good man? A good man is a man, a person, a woman, a man, a person. A good person is the one who does the will of God. What's the will of God? The Word of God. So a good man, somebody that does what God's Word says, a good man, a person that does what God's Word says, out of the good treasure, what's the good treasure? It's the Word of God you store inside of you. Out of the good treasure of his heart, the spirit and the soul will bring forth good things. So you put stuff into you all day long. Stuff is going into you all day long. Now, if it's the right stuff, it's going to turn around and bring back into your life the right stuff. But then it goes on to say, an evil man, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, murderers and rapists and things like that. An evil man, somebody that does things contrary to what God's Word says. Remember in the Old Testament, Moses sent the 12 spies into the Promised Land. They come back and they say, yeah, the promised land is just like God said it was. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. There's big things and there's this, and it's great. And two of those guys said, and let's go take it. That was a good man bringing forth a good report. Why was it a good report? Because it agreed what God said, which was, it's yours, go get it. The other 10 spies said, no, the people are too big. The cities are walled, and it will be too difficult. And God called that an evil report. Was it factual? Yeah, all those things existed. Did God care that all those things existed? No. God said you can have it. So because what they said contradicted what God said, that was an evil report. So an evil man, somebody that does things contrary to what God's word said, that will get into their heart and their spirit and will turn around and start bringing those things back out. So a good man out of the good treasure that you've put in your spirit and your soul is going to bring forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure that you've put into your spirit and your soul is going to bring forth evil things, meaning things contrary to God's word. So the things that you and I desire to come to pass in our life are produced in our spirit as we program it with the word of God or the world. Remember, your spirit man, you sleep. Your physical body needs rest. But your spirit man works 24/7. You can't see your spirit man. But your spirit man is out there working. Remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. And your spirit man is out there working 24/7. It's just a matter of what you have it doing. And what you have it doing is based on what you put in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. So the things that you and I desire to come to pass in our life are produced in our spirit as we program it with the word of God or the world. Our spirit is like a computer. It will produce whatever we program into it. And if we continually program into our spirit negative things, evil things, bad things, undesirable things, then that is exactly what our spirit will produce. It's spiritual law. You put all that junk in you, it's going to come out of it. I was in IT for almost 25 years, and there's an old saying back in my day in IT called GJO, garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into you, you're going to get garbage out. You put good stuff into you, you're going to get good stuff out of you. Now, Jesus also said one verse back in Matthew 12:34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the spirit and the soul, the mouth speaks. So, out of the abundance of your spirit and soul, your mouth's going to speak. And it's either going to speak out the good things that God has said and create those, or the negative things that you've been programmed to the world and create those. That means that whatever we put in our heart into our spirit will eventually, like I said, come out of our mouth and will cause to come to pass whatever we say. That happens because our spirit is creative. It is a creative force, because according to Genesis 1:26-7, it was made in the image and likeness of God. Your spirit was made in the image and the likeness of God. And the literal Hebrew is an exact duplication of the God kind. You were made an exact duplication of the God kind according to the Hebrew. And God is creative. And since we are made in His image and likeness, a duplication of Him, we are creative as well. The Word of God says that hope deferred makes the heart sick or causes your spirit to malfunction. When our hope has been destroyed, not only is our heart made sick, not only is our spirit crushed, but our outlook is affected. Our future is made to appear dismal. As a result, we become depressed, disheartened, and discouraged. When we lose hope, we lose the power to create the positive things that we want to see come to pass in our lives and in the lives of those around us. When we lose hope. Many people in our society today are hopeless because they have been told that they have allowed those negative things that the world says to be lodged or rooted into their heart, into their spirit and their soul. And without hope, because of what they see with their eyes and they hear with their ears, they are hopeless because what they have, because what they've experienced in their past life. So if that weren't enough, oh my God, then you got the literal immoral media, out of control media, with their daily perspective on what's taking place in the world around us. And of course, all they're going to give you is bad, bad, bad news, because bad news sells. Every day that passes, we're inundated with negative reports about the coronavirus and the economy, the political and the educational system, the social and the moral climate, the national and the international environment. If we exist on a steady diet of that type of negativity and input, we soon become burdened down and heavy-hearted. It is no wonder that so many people are malfunctioning today, because their hope has been deferred and their hearts have become heavy. But thank God, the report we receive through the news media is not the final word. Thank you, Jesus. Because the secular media, all they report, their reports are events, situations. They show them as they occur, usually with their worldly, perverted spin on them. They cannot and they will not tell you what the Word of God says about those situations or those circumstances. And that's why, although we Christians continue to follow the daily news, which we need to do because we need to stay abreast or up with, you know, what's happening in the world around us, we must not allow it to affect our outlook on the future. If we do so, we will end up being a people without hope. There seems to be very little going on today outside the church that would inspire hope. And even within some churches, it doesn't seem like there's much hope. Well, this is a place filled with hope. In fact, one of the reasons Daystar recognized us was because we were a church that teaches hope in tough times. As believers, we should be very positive people. Why? Because we have the Word of God and His exceeding great and precious promises, according to 2 Peter 1:4, are for us and our loved ones. What's for us and our loved ones? His exceeding great and precious promises. His what? Exceeding. What does that mean? More than enough. His exceeding great and precious promises. And the Bible assures us in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that in Christ, someone needs to say in Christ, because it's all about being in Him. In Christ, all of the promises of God are yes and amen. So let's talk about that for a minute. In Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. In Christ. Now, you have these people out there that think they can just, you know, do anything they want to do, serve anybody they want to serve, talk about anybody they want to talk about, you know. And as long as we all love each other and, you know, believe there's a God, we're all right. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. The only way for salvation is through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's it. That's the only way there is. And this verse says, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Meaning you got to be born again and you got to know some things about Christ. So in Christ, all the promises. Now we just read that His promises are exceeding great and precious, right? So we just read that. And I told you earlier that there's over 6,000 promises in the Bible. So if I take my Bible and I open it up and I start going through it, and I'm having a challenge with loneliness or depression, or, you know, during this COVID-19 thing, they say the suicide rate's going up. Well, that's craziness, especially if you're a believer. Because we have all of these promises. Now, not only are they great, not only are they precious, not only are they exceeding, as long as you know who you are in Christ, all the promises, all, that's 6,000 plus, all the promises of God are yes and amen. What does that mean? It means Christ is saying yes. Father, I thank you that in Jesus' name, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And Jesus said, yes, or amen. What does amen mean? So be it. Father, I thank you that as I give, it is given unto me a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You cause men to give back into my life. Luke 6:38. And Jesus says, Yes, all the promises of God in him. It's all about being in him. It had nothing to do with you. It's all about being in him. So all of the promises of God, Jesus is saying, yes, amen, go for it, go get it. It belongs to you. You're one of mine. In Christ, they're all yours. And if somebody's not shouting at home, there's something wrong with you. You just can't get any more positive than that. And I'm not talking about, you know, the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about the power of the living Word of God. And when it explodes in our heart, it will transform us from hopelessness, heavy-hearted, being those kind of individuals, into hope-filled, positive, creative people, which is what the children of God are supposed to be. But I want you to understand that religion, you know how I hate religion. Religion does not want you to be positive, to be fully persuaded, to be secure. Religion wants you to be questioning and uncertain and insecure. Why? Because all religion wants to do is control you. If you go to a church that's religious and they're all about all of these rules, the only rules we need to follow are the ones in the Bible. All these made up rules churches have, they are made up rules to control you. It's religion. Jesus didn't come for religion. He came for relationship. So, you know, I am the most non-religious person you will ever meet. I am a Christian. I follow Christ. I don't care what label you want to wear. If that label starts controlling you and Christ isn't controlling you, there is something wrong. Somebody ought to shout amen somewhere. Thank you. I am not insecure in any way, shape, or form. I am a Christian. I am a son of God. How can a son of the living God be insecure? That would be completely unnatural. A Christian is not hopeless. On the contrary, a true believer is filled with hope. And that hope is not in vain. Otherwise, we would be, as 1 Corinthians 15:19 states, of all men most miserable. Well, that ain't me. We are not hopeless people. Because when we are hopeless, we cannot be creative. We cannot be productive. We cannot reach our goals, fulfill our purposes, and carry out the plans for which God has created, called, and commissioned us as His divine ambassadors to this world. I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. It's a good plan. He has a purpose for you. He has victories for you to achieve. God is not the author of failure or defeat, but of victory and triumph. But in order to reach those goals, we must have great and positive expectations. We talk about that a lot around here. Always live in an aura of expectation. Expect God to move. And when I come in here on Sunday mornings, whether you're here or whether we're doing this by video, when I come here on Sunday mornings, my job is to build hope in all of us. But this hope is not based on some fantasy. It is firmly founded in the Word of God. And that's where my hope lies. Not on what man has claimed, but on thus saith the Lord. You know, I'm not going to sing for you, but there is an old hymn. And I love this hymn. Just listen to these words. And some of you at home, particularly the older generation, you will know this hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in sweetest fame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is more revelation in that little hymn than some of you heard in a month. And like the hymn writer says, my hope is based on the living Word of God. And so should yours be. Anything less than that leads to hopelessness, which ends in sickness of mind, sickness in body, and sickness of heart. In James 1:17, the Bible says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now, what does that mean? Okay, every good gift, every perfect gift. We know that John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we know that. So the Word of God always agrees with the Word of God. So every good gift and every perfect gift is from only one place. It is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What does that mean? It means God's not moved. It means that He is who He is. He is who He said He is. He is who He said He will be. It means that His book is His book, and nothing is more powerful or more predictable or more solid than His Word. So if it's in His Word and you claim a promise in His Word and you believe God for that Word, every good and perfect gift comes down, and it doesn't matter your performance. Your performance has nothing to do with this. The only performance you have to have is faith in His Word. So it has nothing to do about you earning it other than having faith, because the promise is the promise. And there's no variation. There's no shadow of turning. Meaning God's not wishy-washy. God is true to His Word in every way, shape, and form. He has made it abundantly clear in His Word that He wills for His children to live in peace and in health and in prosperity. His divine will is based on our hope as believers. And this is the fundamental message that I preach to anyone that will listen to me. It's my job to go around building up people's hope. There are those who hear the message of hope and receive it gladly. And there are those who hear it and totally reject it. When faced with a word of the Lord, people are confronted with a choice. You will either receive it or you'll reject it. There is no in between. Once an individual hears the word of faith, which is what we preach, he can never again be neutral. He has come to a place of decision. Either he accepts it or he rejects it. Period. No middle ground. And it is understandable why the non-believer out there today is hopeless. It is. A non-believer has every right to be hopeless. But according to the Word of God, such a person is the only one entitled to be hopeless. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, to summarize those two, it says this: those who do not know God, those who are without God, those who are strangers to the covenant promises of God, have no hope. Okay, for those of you that aren't church people, let me explain what that means. Covenant promises of God. Covenant promises of God. God has a book. You know that. It's called the Bible. It's divided into two testaments, two parts: the Old Testament, the New Testament. The old part, the new part. The old part was before Christ, and the second part is after Christ. Now, both of those testaments are contracts. They're contracts after Adam fell, after Adam sinned, to get the human race back. God signed in blood a contract, first of all with Abraham, and then through Jesus in the new covenant. And so with the blood that was used, those contracts, those covenants are put in place. And a covenant basically means that anything you have belongs to me, and anything I have belongs to you. And God uses the word covenant a lot because He wants us to understand that everything He has is at our disposal. Everything that God consists of and made of and has is available to us because of covenant. And everything we have is available to Him, which, you know, in comparison is nothing other than our lives and our spot on this planet to be a blessing to other people and to tell other people about Jesus. So there are two covenants. So let's read that again. Those who do not know God, those who are without God, those who are strangers to the covenant promises, all 6,000 of them of God, have no hope. But in Romans 5, 1 through 5, the Bible says that ours is a God of hope. And that those of us who have been justified by faith, I mean born again, have peace with Him. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we rejoice in hope. Our hope is in Christ, period. And if you don't know God, then obviously you're entitled to be without hope. If you don't know your covenant rights, if you're not even aware that you have covenant rights with God, then you have every right to be hopeless. You are expected to live by the world's standards. You're expected to be dominated and controlled by what man says rather than by what God says. Why? Because you don't know that there's any other information available. Jesus said of his heavenly Father and ours in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now, the dictionary defines the word truth as the highest form of reality that exists. Well, that means that there must be lower forms of reality that exists, and those forms are not based on truth, but they're based on opinion and ignorance. And the lower form of reality is what we see, we hear, we read in the world, what's reported daily in the media. There is a higher form of reality than that which we experience every day in our contact with this physical realm. But the person without God, the one who is a stranger to the covenant promises, is not aware of this higher reality. Therefore, all his beliefs are based entirely on what he hears from man, which he accepts as the final authority. When he hears that the economy is bad and predicted to become even worse, he has no alternative than to accept that viewpoint as fact. Why? Because he doesn't know that there is any other source of information available to him. So let's talk about that a minute. Remember we said earlier, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man, someone that doesn't know the word of God, will bring forth the worldly things. So if the only input you take is the input of the world, you know, the economy is going to crash, this is going to crash, this is going to happen, you know, it's all so bad, COVID-19, it's not good. I mean, nobody's saying it is. And nobody's saying these aren't tough times. What we're saying, though, is there's a way to live above the tough times. And for many of you, I'll take you back. We weren't a church in 2009, but many of you were in my class back at our home church in Irving. And you know this story. You know, we came out of the crash of 2008, and 2009 took us into a recession. I was relatively new in starting a business that I was doing. And I stood up in that class and I said, it's not my recession. I don't receive it. It doesn't affect me. That may be what the world says. The world says it's going to get tough, that jobs are going to be scarce, that this, that that. And they went through all of their stuff about how negative it is. And I stood up and said, it's not my recession. I didn't create it. My word, my testimony is I'm a giver. I'm a tither. So therefore, I know that I'm blessed. And I will prosper. During this whole year of 2009, I will prosper. I will prosper going in. I will prosper going out. My business will grow. And that was my entire reality that entire year. We had a great year in my business. Everything we did blossomed and prospered. Why? Because I have another source of reality, another source of information. That source of information tells me if I do X, Y, and Z, then I get the corresponding things that go with X, Y, and Z. And I knew that if I would just keep my confession right, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, I'm not putting all that negative stuff in me. I know what's going on out there, but what's going on out there does not affect what's going on in here. So I put the right things inside of me. I speak the right things out of my mouth. I live in expectation that God will honor his word. I tithe. I give offerings. I help other people. I'm a blessing everywhere I go. And boom. That's the way we live. So it doesn't matter what comes out of COVID-19. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does. I mean, we don't want people, you know, I'm not talking about from a people perspective. I'm talking about from an economic perspective. It doesn't matter to me. Because my reality is, I'm blessed wherever I go. I'm blessed in everything I do. And if this doesn't meet my need, well, God will bring something else that will. Like the situation with the giving being down here and other people filling in the gaps. And actually more than filling in the gaps. So, understand. Yes, there are a lot of negative things. And yes, if you fill your heart up with those things, what's going to come out of your mouth is fear, and it will cripple you. It will kill you, as we said last week in our Easter message. But I'm telling you, there's another source of information. It's called the Word of God. And the Word of God will tell you how to live through tough times and be victorious through them, not just survive through them. I don't care about surviving. I care about being victorious. And my God provides that for me. So there is a higher form of reality than that which we experience every day in our contact with this physical realm. So if the news media reports that we are in a recession, the person without God is going to what? Well, they're going to accept that report as fact. And as a result, their life and their business will soon reflect it. Not mine. Their report does not affect me. Like everyone that they know, they are limited to carnal knowledge and what the world says, rather than being open to revelation knowledge to what the Word of God says. Consequently, they live a pretty hopeless life. They're here, they're there, they're up, they're down. They accept the report of the media, of medical science, of the economists, of the so-called experts as final authority. But once we hear and receive the message of faith, once we come to understand that we do not have to live that way anymore, that we have a covenant agreement with Almighty God, signed and sealed in the blood of Jesus, who is its guarantee and its surety, then our whole life will change. Because you realize Jesus already paid for all of it. So all I have to do is get in agreement with what Jesus has done. I'm not saying we're not going to have problems or difficulties, but there's a difference between problems and difficulties having you and you managing them. I'm managing mine. I'm not going to let them have me. I'm not going to get in fear. You got to be kidding me. Not only will we have hope and faith, our spirit man will finally begin then to be creative and to produce the way that God intended and designed for it to do. We'll no longer be restricted and confined and limited. In fact, we will have unlimited potential. And that's what we're going to be teaching on these next few weeks. I want you to know that all things can change. There are many sick people in our society today, and I'm not talking about COVID-19 exactly, but their illnesses are really caused by hopelessness. And even medical science recognizes the fact that mental and emotional states of a patient has much to do with their physical state. Hopelessness can and does affect the mind and the body. And that is no longer a subject of debate, either in the medical world or in the spiritual world. And the reason so many people are hopeless is because they cannot see their personal situation, whatever it may be, ever turning around. They can't foresee their physical crisis, financial crisis, family crisis, or any other crisis ever getting any better. In the weeks to follow, I'm going to show you from the Word of God that the Lord is a master, a champion at turning the impossible into possible. According to Luke 18:27, it says this, that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And I don't know what's troubling you today, but I can tell you this. If you will not accept that symptom or circumstance or situation as the final authority, then God can turn it around for you. One of the greatest revelations I receive that you can receive is found in 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now let's break this down a little bit. Now the word temporary there, the things which are seen are subject. The temporary means in the Greek, it means that they are subject to change. So here's how that verse really reads. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are subject to change, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If you can ever see your situation as temporary, as not being permanent, you will be set free. So what's he talking about this? See, while we do not look at the things which are seen. That's what I've been talking about this whole time. We're not going to turn a blind eye to it. We're not going to make it where we don't say it exists, but I'm not going to look at it. What does that mean? I'm not going to focus on it. Yes, COVID-19 is bad. Yes, coronavirus is bad. Yes, unemployment is going up. Yes, there's lots of things to be concerned about. Yes. But I'm not going to look at those, meaning I am not going to set my mind and my emotions to, because to look at implies what? I've got to see it. Seeing is part of the soul, which is mind, will, and emotions. And so I am not going to allow my, I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to focus on it and allow it to affect me. So while I do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. What are things not seen? Remember a minute ago I told you in Matthew 12:35, you know, that we are spirit beings. We are a spirit. We have a soul, live in a body. My spirit is the real me. It's out there doing work 24/7, but I can't see it. All I can do is give it instructions through what's, remember in Matthew 12:35, a good man of the good treasure of his heart. By bringing good things out of my heart through my words, I'm sending my spirit man out to do what needs to be done. So while I'm not looking or focusing on the things they're seeing, I'm focusing on the things which I cannot see. That's called faith. For the things which are seen are temporary, or again in the Greek it says subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The power of God is eternal. What's happening in this world is subject to change. So if anything can be perceived by your five physical senses, it's not permanent. It is subject to change. And the thing that will cause it to change is your hope, your faith, and your expectations, which are produced by the Word of God that you're inputting into your spirit on a daily basis. So although it is understandable that those people who are without God are strangers to the covenant of promise and without hope, it is not understandable or acceptable for a believer to be that way. In fact, it is unnatural for a believer to be hopeless. The two words believer and hopeless, they don't go together. They are opposites. A hopeless believer is a contradiction of term. It is a violation of spiritual law. How can anyone be a believer and be hopeless? They can't. Belief and hopeless are mutually exclusive. Belief negates hopelessness and vice versa. So, but let's be real here. You know, there are many hopeless Christians today. And the world is full of them. And even worse than that, the churches are full of them. And it's an unnatural state of existence. It is not natural for a person to go to church, carry a Bible, speak in tongues, listen to faith messages, read spiritual books, you know, listen to Christian radio, whatever, and be hopeless. It's not natural. Yet all too often in our nation today, that seems to be the case. With the flood of spiritual information, instruction, and direction at our disposal, why would any believer in his right mind ever be hopeless? It's unnatural. It is unnecessary, and it's also dangerous. Our spirit man was not designed by God to function under that load of oppression and heaviness. God didn't create you that way. But thank God, we can be delivered from it. Therefore, over the next few weeks, I'm going to take you on a journey. You were designed for more. I don't care where you are. You were designed for more than where you're at. You were designed to live life and not let life live you. You have more power and more authority than you probably ever thought possible. I will not allow my heart to be filled with heaviness because that stops my progress. My heart, my spirit, and my soul are to do as Matthew 12:35 says and produce good things in my life. I invite you to take this journey with me over the next few weeks as we unlock the power of God in our lives. As we do this, He will turn every setback into a triumph, every stumbling block into a stepping stone, and every curse into a blessing. I fully believe that, and I fully believe that, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do over these next couple of months. But here's the good news. You don't have to wait to be set free from hopelessness and heaviness of heart. We can take care of that today. Remember the scriptures I put up a few minutes ago? It said, in Christ. All of these things that I've been talking about, all of these blessings that we've gone through, all of these things that we have discussed, all of these things are based on one thing, Jesus, about being in Christ. Now, I understand, you know, and in my business, you know, because I'm a business guy and I own a business, and in my business, I talk to people every day, and there is so much hopelessness out there, which is part of why I'm doing this series. There is so, I'm just hearing so much hopelessness in voices today. It does not need to be that way. It just doesn't. There's a way to live above hopelessness. It's all about being in Christ. Now, once you get in Christ, there's things you've got to learn. There's that covenant I was talking about, and all those promises, and how do you use them, and what are they good for, and where do they apply? And so there's a lot to learn. I'm not saying there's not. Well, is it easy? Well, it's all perspective, you know? I mean, to me, having to do some studying and some learning and some reading and some involvement, having to actually go to church and learn and do the things that you're supposed to do, I guess there's some effort in there. But when I talk to people on the phone and I see people's faces and I see so much hopelessness in this world and in people's lives, that's work. That's just, I cannot see, because I don't live that way, I can't even comprehend living like that. It is just beyond my comprehension while anyone would choose to live like that. And you may say, well, I didn't know there was a choice. Well, now you do. Remember I said a few minutes ago, you either receive it or you reject it. And we're at that time. You're either going to receive what I have said or you're going to reject it. And if you reject it, you're on your own. You deal with the world however you deal with it. But if you receive it, you can start on a journey that is beyond anything you could ever imagine. God is not boring. God does not want you to do. People have this concept of God that my God blesses and prospers and takes care of. Does he rebuke you from time to time? Yeah, I mean, you mess up or whatever, he'll come down on you a little bit. But even in that, it turns right around and he makes a blessing out of it. He never gets mad at you. He never turns his back on you. He never stops loving you. I mean, once you accept Jesus, you become righteous, and you're righteous forever at that point. So, God is not mad at you. You don't have to work to try to get better to then come to God. All you got to do is get into Christ. And how do I get into Christ? It's a very simple process. People say, well, it can't be that simple. It is. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So if this message has put something inside of you and you feel the stirring of the Spirit inside of you, well, you're believing in your heart. And now we're going to say a prayer and you confess with your mouth. And guess what? At that point, the Bible says you become a new creation in Christ. And it's all about being in Christ. So if you need to make, you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, we're going to say a simple prayer, and you can do that. If we were here, I'd ask you to raise your hand. It's not about me and you. It's about you and God. Just acknowledge before God right now, yes, Lord, I want to accept you. And we'll say a prayer in a minute. And if you're one of those, you've been in church before, and maybe you've said the prayer, you know, 14 times or 1,400 times. It doesn't matter. But you're like, you know, I don't know God like you were just talking about. To me, you know, he's somebody that you go to church, and I'm into that religion thing, and I'm into, don't worry about it. Just chill. Let's just get it all right now. You can't get born again, but you can rededicate your life to him this morning. So let's just all say this prayer together. Just repeat it after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you realizing that I need a Savior. I'm not good enough, but I can be good enough by accepting you and letting you be good enough through me. I receive what you did for me, Jesus. Dying on a cross, paying the price for my sin, so that I could be a child of God. I thank you for it. I receive your work. I receive your effort. I receive what you did. I call you my Lord and my Savior. I declare I am a Christian and will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Well, if that's you and you just started a new life in Christ, now you can go to our website and there's a link on there for Vimeo, and you can go to Vimeo and there's hundreds of messages on there. You can pick topics you want to learn about or whatever. There, you can just scroll through all those. There's hundreds of them. But start learning. Start gaining knowledge. Don't stop listening to the news. I don't want us to be ignorant about what's going on. But just don't let it control you. Stay in the Word a whole lot more than you're staying in the news. Get messages. Read the Bible. Because now that you're born again, the Bible will start coming alive to you. It's not going to be a dead book to you anymore. It's time for hope. It's time for hopelessness to go. And it's time for hope and faith to come. And I just pray you receive that this morning, that this message was a blessing to you. And I just speak blessings over you in Jesus' name. And Father, we do thank you for the time that we've had through worship and the Word. I thank you that you bless the people of this house and people around the world. You just help the medical community, give them wisdom beyond their wisdom. Thank you for a cure to this thing. Thank you, Father, for freeing our land from this plague. We receive it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for protecting us, that even though that virus may be out there right now, it does not affect us. We walk free from it. We walk in protection of it because we understand that we have the blood of Jesus. And we put the blood of Jesus over us. We walk in the protection. We walk in wisdom. We do what we are told to do. But that we don't walk in fear. We walk in faith. We have hope. We have perseverance. We have what it takes to become the people you have destined us to be. And I thank you, Father, for it. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week. Go forth and prepare our way. Lead us and guide us. Put us in situations and keep us out of situations that we need to be in on both sides. Father, I thank you for it. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great, anointed, prosperous week. Get on the Band app if you're not. And we will see you back here next Sunday. Have a great week.